Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents AI and Machine Learning for On-Device Development, A Programmer's Guide, First Edition, by Lawrence Maroney. Narrated by Ray Greenlee. Publisher's Note: This audiobook has bonus material. Please contact whomever you purchase this audiobook from to request the material. All figures and code referenced in this audiobook can be found in the bonus material. The views expressed in this work are those of the authors and do not represent the publisher's views. While the publisher and the authors have used good faith efforts to ensure that the information and instructions contained in this work are accurate, the publisher and authors disclaim all responsibility for errors or omissions, including without limitation, responsibility for damages resulting from the use of or reliance on this work. Use of the information and instructions contained in this work is at your own risk. If any code samples or other technology this work contains or describes is subject to open source licenses or the intellectual property rights of others, it is your responsibility to ensure that your use thereof complies with such licenses and/or rights. Preface. Welcome to AI and Machine Learning for On-Device Development. Successful authors have always told me that the best book you can write is the book you want to read. So, I wrote this book because I feel it's essential for all mobile developers to add machine learning to their toolbox. I hope that you find it helpful on your learning journey. Who should read this book? If you're a mobile developer who loves to write code that executes on Android or iOS, and who enjoys delighting users through apps or sites, but you always were curious about how machine learning fits into your workflow, then this book is for you. This book aims to show you how the various frameworks to get you up and running quickly are a helpful first step. It also guides you when you want to go further, customizing models and looking deeper into machine learning. Why I wrote this book. My goal at Google is to make AI easy for all developers, demystify the seemingly arcane mathematics, and put AI literally into everybody's hands. One key to this is to empower mobile developers, be they Android or iOS, to open new mobile paradigms using machine learning. There's an old joke that in the early days of the internet, common wisdom and advice was not to talk to strangers, and you most certainly should never get into an unfamiliar car. However, nowadays, thanks to the change in paradigm, we happily summon strangers from the internet and get into their cars. This behavior was made possible by mobile internet-connected computing devices. Thus, how we do things has changed forever. The next wave of new things that we can do with our computing devices will be powered by machine learning. I can only guess what they might be. So I wrote this book to help you, dear listener, navigate the plethora of choices available to you. And you will be the person who could write the app that could change everything. I can't wait to see what you do with it. Navigating this book. It's really up to you how you want to go about it. If you are a mobile developer who wants to understand machine learning, you can simply start at the beginning and work your way through. If you want to sample particular getting started technologies such as MLKit or CreateML, there are dedicated chapters for them. Towards the end of the book, I discuss technologies and techniques you'll need to consider when you're further along in your journey, such as multiple model hosting with Firebase and tools you need to consider for fairness in AI. Technology you need to understand. This book will give you a straightforward introduction to machine learning, or ML, before going deeper into using models on mobile devices. Should you want to go deeper into ML, you can use my book, AI and Machine Learning for Coders, also from O'Reilly. The book will take you through some sample scenarios for mobile development, but isn't designed to teach you Android development with Kotlin or iOS with Swift. we'll guide you to learning resources for these at the appropriate time. Conventions used in this book. Tips. This element signifies a tip or suggestion. Notes. This element signifies a general note. Warning. This element indicates a warning or caution. Using code examples. Supplemental material, code examples, exercises, etc., is available for download at github.com/lmaroney/odmlbook. If you have a technical question or a problem using the code examples, please send email to bookquestions@oreilly.com. This book is here to help you get your job done. In general, if example code is offered with this book, you may use it in your programs and documentation. You do not need to contact us for permission unless you're reproducing a significant portion of the code. For example, writing a program that uses several chunks of code from this book does not require permission. Selling or distributing examples from O'Reilly Books does require permission. Answering a question by citing this book and quoting example code does not require permission. Incorporating a significant amount of example code from this book into your product's documentation does require permission. We appreciate, but generally do not require, attribution. An attribution usually includes the title, author, publisher, and ISBN. For example, AI and Machine Learning for On-Device Development by Lawrence Maroney, (O'Reilly). Copyright 2021, Lawrence Maroney, 978-1-098-10174-9. If you feel your use of code examples falls outside fair use or the permission given here, feel free to contact us at permissions@oreilly.com. O'Reilly Online Learning. For more than 40 years, O'Reilly Media has provided technology and business training, knowledge, and insight to help companies succeed. Our unique network of experts and innovators share their knowledge and expertise through books, articles, and our online learning platform. O'Reilly's online learning platform gives you on-demand access to live training courses, in-depth learning paths, interactive coding environments, and a vast collection of text and video from O'Reilly and 200-plus other publishers. For more information, visit O'Reilly.com. How to contact us. Please address comments and questions concerning this book to the publisher, O'Reilly Media Incorporated, 1005 Gravenstein Highway North, Sebastopol, California, 95472. 800-998-9938 in the United States or Canada, 707-829-0515 international or local, 707-829-0104 fax. We have a web page for this book where we list errata, examples, and any additional information. You can access this page at oreilly.ly/ai-and-ml-on-devices. That's oreilly.ly/ai-and-ml-on-devices. Email bookquestions@oreilly.com to comment or ask technical questions about this book. For news and information about our books and courses, visit O'Reilly.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/O'Reilly. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/O'Reilly Media. Watch us on YouTube, youtube.com/O'Reilly Media. Chapter 1. Introduction to AI and Machine Learning. You've likely sought out this book because you're curious about artificial intelligence, AI, machine learning, ML, deep learning, and all of the new technologies that promise the latest and greatest breakthroughs. Welcome! In this book, my goal is to explain a little about how AI and ML work, and a lot about how you can put them to work for you in your mobile apps using technologies such as TensorFlow Lite, MLKit, and CoreML. We'll start light in this chapter by establishing what we actually mean when we describe artificial intelligence, machine learning, deep learning, and more. What is artificial intelligence? In my experience, artificial intelligence, or AI, has become one of the most fundamentally misunderstood technologies of all time. Perhaps the reason for this is in its name. Artificial intelligence evokes the artificial creation of an intelligence. Perhaps it's in the use of the term widely in science fiction and pop culture, where AI is generally used to describe a robot that looks and sounds like a human. I remember the character Data from Star Trek The Next Generation as the epitome of an artificial intelligence, and his story led him in a quest to be human, because he was intelligent and self-aware, but lacked emotions. Stories and characters like this have likely framed the discussion of artificial intelligence. Others, such as nefarious AIs in various movies and books, have led to a fear of what AI can be. Given how often AI is seen in these ways, it's easy to come to the conclusion that they define AI. However, none of these are actual definitions or examples of what artificial intelligence is, at least in today's terms. It's not the artificial creation of intelligence. It's the artificial appearance of intelligence. When you become an AI developer, you're not building a new life form. You're writing code that acts in a different way to traditional code, and that can very loosely emulate the way an intelligence reacts to something. A common example of this is to use deep learning for computer vision, where, instead of writing code that tries to understand the context of an image with a lot of if-then rules that parse the pixels, you can instead have a computer learn what the contents are by looking at lots of samples. So, for example, say you want to write code to tell the difference between a t-shirt and a shoe. How would you do this? Well, you'd probably want to look for particular shapes. The distinct vertical lines and parallel on the t-shirt with the body outline are a good signal that it's a t-shirt. The thick horizontal lines toward the bottom, the sole, are a good indication that it's a shoe. But there's a lot of code you'd have to write to detect that. And that's just for the general case. Of course, there would be many exceptions for non-traditional designs, such as a cutout t-shirt. If you were to ask an intelligent being to pick between a shoe and a t-shirt, how would you do it? Assuming it had never seen them before, you'd show the being lots of examples of shoes and lots of examples of t-shirts. And it would just figure out what made a shoe, and what made a t-shirt, a t-shirt. You wouldn't need to give it lots of rules saying which one is which. Artificial intelligence acts in the same way. Instead of figuring out all those rules and inputting them into a computer in order to tell that difference, you give the computer lots of examples of t-shirts and lots of examples of shoes, and it just figures out how to distinguish them. But the computer doesn't do this by itself. It does it with code that you write. That code will look and feel very different from your typical code, and the framework by which the computer will learn to distinguish isn't something that you'll need to figure out how to write yourself. There are several frameworks that already exist for this purpose. In this book, you'll learn how to use one of them, TensorFlow, to create applications like the one I just mentioned. TensorFlow is an end-to-end open-source platform for ML. You'll use many parts of it extensively in this book, from creating models that use ML and deep learning, to converting them to mobile-friendly formats with TensorFlow Lite and executing them on mobile devices, to serving them with TensorFlow Serving. It also underpins technology such as MLKit, which provides many common models as turnkey scenarios with a high-level API that's designed around mobile scenarios. As you'll see when listening to this book, the techniques of AI aren't particularly new or exciting. What is relatively new, and what made the current explosion in AI technologies possible, is increased low-cost computing power, along with the availability of mass amounts of data. Having both is key to building a system using machine learning. But to demonstrate the concept, let's start small so it's easier to grasp. What is machine learning? You might have noticed in the preceding scenario that I mentioned that an intelligent being would look at lots of examples of t-shirts and shoes and just figure out what the difference between them was, and in so doing, would learn how to differentiate between them. It had never previously been exposed to either, so it gains new knowledge about them by being told that these are t-shirts and those are shoes. From that information, it then was able to move forward by learning something new. When programming a computer in the same way, the term machine learning is used. Similar to artificial intelligence, the terminology can create the false impression that the computer is an intelligent entity that learns the way a human does by studying, evaluating, theorizing, testing, and then remembering. And on a very surface level, it does. But how it does it is far more mundane than how the human brain does it. To wit, machine learning can be simply described as having code functions figure out their own parameters instead of the human programmer supplying those parameters. They figure them out through trial and error, with a smart optimization process to reduce the overall error and drive the model towards better accuracy and performance. Now, that's a bit of a mouthful, so let's explore what that looks like in practice. Moving from traditional programming to machine learning. To understand in detail the core difference between coding for machine learning and traditional coding, let's go through an example. Consider the function that describes a line. You might remember this from high school geometry. Y equals capital W times X plus capital B. This describes that for something to be a line, every point y on the line can be derived by multiplying x by a value capital W for weight and adding a value capital B for bias. Note, AI literature tends to be very math-heavy, unnecessarily so if you're just getting started. This is one of the very few math examples I'll use in this book. Now, say you're given 2 points on this line. Let's say they are at x equals 2, y equals 3, and x equals 3, y equals 5. How would we write code that figures out the values of capital W and capital B that describe the line joining these 2 points? Let's start with capital W, which we'll call the weight, but in geometry, it's also called the slope, sometimes gradient. Calculating it is easy. Capital W equals open parentheses, y2 minus y1, close parentheses, divided by open parentheses, x2 minus x1, close parentheses. So if we fill in, we can see that the slope is capital W equals open parentheses, 5 minus 3, close parentheses, divided by open parentheses, 3 minus 2, close parentheses, which equals 2 divided by 1, which equals 2. Or in code, in this case using Python, def get slope, open parentheses p1 comma p2 close parentheses colon, capital W equals open parentheses p2.y minus p1.y close parentheses forward slash open parentheses p2.x minus p1.x close parentheses. Return capital W. This function sort of works. It's naive because it ignores a divide by zero when the two x values are the same, but let's just go with it for now. Okay, so we've figured out the capital W value. In order to get a function for the line, we also need to figure out the capital B. Back to high school geometry. We can use one of our points as an example. So, assume we have y equals capital W times x plus capital B. We can also say capital B equals y minus capital W times x. And we know that when x equals 2, y equals 3, and capital W equals 2, we can backfill this function. Capital B equals 3 minus, open parentheses, 2 times 2, close parentheses. This leads us to derive that B is negative 1. Again, in code, we would write def get bias, open parentheses, P1, comma, capital W, close parentheses, colon, B equals P1.y minus, open parentheses, capital W, times P1.x, close parentheses, return capital B. So now, to determine any point on the line given an x, we can easily say def get y, open parentheses, x, comma, capital W, comma, capital B, close parentheses, colon. Y equals, open parentheses, capital W times x, close parentheses, plus capital B, return y. Or, for the complete listing, def get slope, open parentheses, P1, comma, P2, close parentheses, colon. Capital W equals, open parentheses, P2.y minus P1.y, close parentheses, forward slash, open parentheses, P2.x minus P1.x, close parentheses, return capital W. Def get bias, open parentheses, P1, comma, capital W, close parentheses, colon. Capital B equals, P1.y minus, open parentheses, capital W times P1.x, close parentheses, return capital B. Def get y, open parentheses, x, comma, capital W, comma, capital B, close parentheses, colon. Y equals capital W times x plus capital B. P1 equals point, open parentheses, 2, comma, 3, close parentheses. P2 equals point, open parentheses, 3, comma, 5, close parentheses. Capital W equals get slope, open parentheses, P1, comma, P2, close parentheses. Capital B equals get bias, open parentheses, P1, comma, capital W, close parentheses. Comment. Now you can get any y for any x by saying x equals 10, y equals get y, open parentheses, x, comma, capital W, comma, capital B, close parentheses. From these, we could see that when x is 10, y will be 19. You've just gone through a typical programming task. You had a problem to solve, and you could solve the problem by figuring out the rules and then expressing them in code. There was a rule to calculate capital W when given 2 points, and you created that code. You could then, once you've figured out capital W, derive another rule when using capital W and a single point to figure out capital B. Then, once you had capital W and capital B, you could write yet another rule to calculate y in terms of capital W, capital B, and a given x. That's traditional programming, which is now often referred to as rules-based programming. I like to summarize this with the diagram in Figure 1-3. At its highest level, traditional programming involves creating rules that act on data and which give us answers. In the preceding scenario, we had data, 2 points on a line. We then figured out the rules that would act on this data to figure out the equation of that line. Then, given those rules, we could get answers for new items of data so that we could, for example, plot that line. The core job of the programmer in this scenario is to figure out the rules. That's the value you bring to any problem. Breaking it down into the rules that define it, and then expressing those rules in terms that a computer can understand using a coding language. But you may not always be able to express those rules easily. Consider the scenario from earlier when we wanted to differentiate between a t-shirt and a shoe. one cannot always figure out the rules to determine between them, and then express those rules in code. Here's where machine learning can help. But before we go into it for a computer vision task like that, let's consider how machine learning might be used to figure out the equation of a line as we worked out earlier. How can a machine learn? Given the preceding scenario, where you as a programmer figured out the rules that make up a line and the computer implemented them, let's now see how a machine learning approach would be different. Let's start by understanding how machine learning code is structured. While this is very much a hello world problem, the overall structure of the code is very similar to what you'd see even in far more complex ones. I like to draw a high-level architecture outlining the use of machine learning to solve a problem like this. Remember, in this case, we'll have X and Y values, so we want to figure out the capital W and capital B so that we have a line equation. Once we have that equation, we can then get new Y values given X ones. Step 1. Guess the answer. Yes, you heard that right. To begin with, we have no idea what the answer might be, so a guess is as good as any other answer. In real terms, this means we'll pick random values for capital W and capital B. We'll loop back to this step with more intelligence a little later, so subsequent values won't be random, but we'll start purely randomly. So, for example, let's assume that our first guess is that capital W equals 10, and capital B equals 5. Step 2. Measure the accuracy of our guess. Now that we have values for capital W and capital B, we can use these against our known data to see just how good, or just how bad, those guesses are. So, we can use y equals 10x plus 5 to figure out a y for each of our x values, compare that y against the correct value, and use that to derive how good or how bad our guess is. Obviously, for this situation, our guess is really bad because our numbers would be way off. We'll go into detail on that shortly, but for now, we realize that our guess is really bad, and we have a measure of how bad. This is often called the loss. Step 3. Optimize our guess. Now that we have a guess, and we have intelligence about the results of that guess, or the loss, we have information that can help us create a new and better guess. This process is called optimization. If you've looked at any AI coding or training in the past, and it was heavy on mathematics, it's likely you are looking at optimization. Here's where fancy calculus, in a process called gradient descent, can be used to help make a better guess. Optimization techniques like this figure out ways to make small adjustments to your parameters that drive towards minimal error. I'm not going to go into detail on that here, and while it's a useful skill to understand how optimization works, the truth is that frameworks like TensorFlow implement them for you so you can just go ahead and use them. In time, it's worth digging into them for more sophisticated models, allowing you to tweak their learning behavior. But for now, you're safe just using a built-in optimizer. Once you've done this, you simply go to step 1. Repeating this process, by definition, helps us over time and many loops to figure out the parameters capital W and capital B. And that's why this process is called machine learning. Over time, by making guesses, figuring out how good or how bad that guess might be, optimizing the next guess based on that intel, and then repeating it, the computer will learn the parameters for capital W and capital B, or indeed anything else. And from there, it will figure out the rules that make up our line. Visually, this might look like figure 1-4. Implementing machine learning in code. That's a lot of description and a lot of theory. Let's now take a look at what this would look like in code, so you can see it running for yourself. A lot of this code may look alien to you at first, but you'll get the hang of it over time. I like to call this the hello
sample complete. Ready to continue?